This morning I'm going to read Psalm 46, perhaps an appropriate psalm for the troubled times in which we live in the world today. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am Lord. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
Amen.
So, when I had the text from Aubrey, first thing Friday morning, to say that COVID had caught him again, I knew this Sunday morning was going to be a bit different. I had to compartmentalise my thoughts at that point as I was about to head into school for a morning of child management. But the phrase, coming to the house of the Lord, started running round in my head. By Friday tea time, the music was mostly changed, as were the readings, and the bulk of this morning's service was ready, apart from a talky bit. Sermon. Now, this is not my area of expertise, and as none of the deacons quite felt the call to stand here today, I picked up on a suggestion that had been made and started to see if I could recycle or reuse one of our old online sermons. But many of these were referencing COVID so much that I just didn't feel they were right. I looked at the EBA online sermons, the Eastern Baptist Association. We had Graham Ross a few weeks ago, and he is one of the EBA representatives. So I knew that there were online sermons there. But no, again, nothing felt quite right. As an interlude, I spoke with John Bates to see whether in a fortnight's time he wanted to preach on the passage following next week's, or did he want to go back and do this missed out section? He decided to keep moving forward rather than go back, which I quite understand. It was at this point that I reread the passage that had originally been chosen for today. And as I read it in many different versions, I started to have a quiet, calm thought process. And coming to the house of the Lord and shining like stars began to draw together and link hands. Now, be reassured, you're absolutely not going to get any sort of full-blown, deep theological exposition on this passage. But I have been minded with just a couple of simple points for us to ponder and take away with us today. As we heard at the very beginning of the service, the early apostles met together to worship God, pray, and be in fellowship with each other. And nothing has changed. We are called to do just the same. We come together in this place, in the house of the Lord on Maidenhall Green, to worship God, to pray, and to be in fellowship with each other. We laugh together. We cry together. We celebrate together, and we support each other. Life isn't always easy, but we face hurdles and challenging situations, knowing we have been led to this place. And I believe that God has called every single person here for a purpose. And as we seek God's guiding and directing for this house of the Lord, He will show us the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how He wants things to be and for us to do. I've just realised at this point I haven't asked Sandy to bring the reading in Philippians. So would you do that now, Sandy? Because that will make sense for this next section.
Yes, I'm just reading the short part of Philippians 2 from verse 12 to verse 18. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sandy. And it was that very first bit that struck me at this point. Just as you obeyed when I was with you, it's even more important for you to obey now that I am not there. We've all done it, haven't we? Perhaps as children, when we know what mum and dad have said, what rules they have set out, but actually, when the back is turned, we tweak those boundaries a bit. The same in all sorts of situations, but actually, what the passage here is saying, it's even more important for you to obey because I can't physically be with you right now. But Paul tells us it's God that is working in us and He helps us. He helps us to do what pleases Him and He gives us the power to do it. Now, when we were away just recently, one thing that surprised me was that the moon in St. Lucia is different. You're not looking surprised by this. I was very surprised by this. I just thought the moon was the moon. But our present moon stands like this, or if you're looking out, our present moon looks like that. But over in St. Lucia, it's not like that. A crescent moon in St. Lucia is like that, is underneath. This fascinated me. Gary tried to explain it, but I just got confused. And the other thing that fascinated me, that underneath the moon, there were two stars, quite a distance apart and sort of at an angle, that shone so brightly underneath the cup-shaped moon, the saucer-shaped moon. They were brighter than any other stars I could see in the sky there. And I've never noticed them here. So that confused me as well. But actually, it served as an illustration for this talk here this morning. You are living with evil people all around you who have lost their sense of what is right. This is the easy to read version. You are living with evil people all around you who have lost their sense of what is right. Among those people, you shine like lights in a dark world.
Yes.
And you offer them the teaching that gives life. We live in a world with very few boundaries, very few taboos remaining. A world where black and white has morphed into a tawdry grey. A world where stating truth is slated and the so-called perpetrator is cancelled. But where dangerous extremist views are celebrated and force-fed into our children's susceptible, vulnerable minds. We have each been called to shine like stars in every part of our lives. That means being a shining example for Christ in the words and the actions of our everyday lives. It's not always easy.
No.
And we can all relate to feeling a little tarnished at times. We're human. We do slip. But that obedience referenced at the beginning of this passage is even more important in these days because we are Christ's ambassadors. We are his living example in the often dark and morally corrupt world in which we live today. And so the two threads of coming to the house of the Lord and shining like stars come together. We are each here for a purpose.
Yes.
We have been called to shine like stars in this house of the Lord on Maidenhall Green. On Thursday, we had four young people from Stoke High School come into the Drop-In Cafe for the very first time. For weeks now, they've stuck their heads around the gate and peered down. We've even exchanged a little wave with them. They had gone around the corner and they waved to us again, but none of them have ever actually dared cross the threshold. But four of them did on Thursday afternoon. They sat and they happily chatted together, drinking their drinks and eating lots of biscuits. And then one of the girls came over to the breakfast bar and said, "Excuse me, can you tell me when the next Messy Church is on, please?" Amazing. Completely unexpected, but absolutely wonderful. We don't always realise that this house of the Lord is seen by those in our community around us. We don't always feel that our light is shining. But actually, each one of us is here for a purpose. Each one of us is here for a reason. We do shine into our community. So, as I draw to a close, be challenged, be assured, be comforted, be encouraged as God sees fit to speak with you personally today. You have come to this house of the Lord for a reason. You have a purpose in this place.
Amen.
You have something to offer and a role to fulfill. You have been called to shine like a light in a dark world for the community here. We as a fellowship have a purpose and a role to fulfill. Through God's power working through us, we have something to offer, and we have been called to shine like stars.
Amen.
As a beacon of hope and truth to the community around us. May we shine like stars for Christ as we go into this new week.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.